This is Nicole.
Next on News for the Soul, Your Spiritual Life with Raymond Posch.
Raymond is a life mastery coach, writer, speaker, and host of the Spirituality Beckoning podcast. His book, Awakening to Wholeness, is a record of his exploration into spirituality and his personal awakening. As an avid speaker, his mission is to share his knowledge and help others to awaken to oneness and to make a positive difference in the world. Let's welcome Raymond back to News for the Soul.
Welcome to another episode of Our Spiritual Life. And my guest today she doesn't say this, but I think she's somewhat of a superstar in the world of Pilates training. And her name is Jennifer Pilates. So we'll find out about that as we go along. But she's all about transforming mind, body, and spirit. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today in this episode. I look forward to it. And Jennifer, welcome to the show. Now, I'll give you a quick introduction, and then I'll let you talk about what you do. And I think, you know, I want to come at it from your story about sounded like you were involved in a serious car accident some time ago. And so we'll hear how that led you to eventually do what you're doing now and everything you've been doing. Now, she's been a transformational coach for 20 plus years. So she has a lot of fantastic experience. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you so much, Ray, for having me on your show. We were talking previously off air, and I just, you know, want to reiterate how much I appreciate what you're doing with your podcast and your radio show to bring love to the world, which is what we need so much. And as we know, love is the key to healing. And we all need that tremendously down to the soil that we walk on. So I want to thank you for having me here, and thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you. Well, yeah, so go ahead. Tell us about you. And, I've got to read this. It's a one long sentence from your website that blows me away. She says, I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur, mind-body expert, celebrity trainer and advisor, top-rated podcast host, coach and mentor, detail-loving, stubborn-as-heck achiever, unshakable optimist, self-care activist, fur baby mama, and ocean-loving empath. Wow, I love that. And you're very expressive about who you are, and I love it. So tell us something about you.
Yeah, so I am Jennifer Pilates. I have been transforming body, minds, and spirits for over 20 years through Pilates rehabilitative training, through my celebrity and intuitive advising, through empowerment and transformation coaching over the years. And so I've been blessed to work with clients all over the world. Most of my clientele is all virtually now. I'd like to thank the world for that. Wow. It makes things so much easier. And, you know, birthing the podcast this past year. You know, we talked off air. She's just turned 1 year, 1 year old, the Empowered Within podcast. And that has just made such a difference in my world. And meeting people like you and just having the opportunity to even broaden that reach and to explore different conversations has meant so much to me.
Yes. You know, I feel the same way. You know, when I started my podcast, it was actually with reluctance, but Spirit was telling me very clearly and strongly, start a podcast soon. So I eventually did. And I was greatly interested in the whole world of spirituality and self-development, self-improvement, and wanting to, participate in that whole spectrum make a difference in it, because I think it's so important. But yes, birthing a podcast can be interesting, and I love doing it too. It's one of the things. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm a folk singer. I made a big change in what I used to do and do now. I'm a folk singer. I love singing folk music for seniors primarily, and because seniors love the old folk music.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that, but I love the podcast too, and interacting with guests like you. So I relate. But let's get into really what you've been doing so much over the last 20 years. You know, you talk about empowerment, and the name of your podcast is Empowered Within. I love that name. So yeah, talk about empowerment. Let's put a pause there, because I want to hear your car accident story first, and then we'll get into that.
Yeah, so back in 1997, I was living and working out in Boulder, Colorado, and the first half of my life, I worked in the assisted living and retirement industry and specialized in Alzheimer's disease. So I, too, have a very special place in my heart for seniors and being a senior advocate and helping their families transitioning and working through phases of life. And so while I was out there, I was driving home and I was just in this really horrific car accident. There were six lanes. It was like a huge I wasn't on the highway, but it was six lanes of traffic. And it was one of those things, you know how they say, like, you never want to see something coming. And I totally saw this coming. I looked up and I saw this car barreling at me.
Oh.
And I looked to my right, looked to my left and thought, there is nowhere to go. And so, of course, you know, you brace. So I ping-ponged back and forth between the car in front of me and then this person hitting me. And then what was really interesting to me is that I just suddenly remember looking at out of the driver's side window, and there was a police officer there. And my initial thought was, my gosh, they got here so fast. Oh. Well, that was who hit me. He was on his way home in his car. And that's who hit me. So I'm sure I went in and out a bit, and you know, it was a lot. It was a big deal there. You know, I had a lot of soft tissue damage from the base of my skull down my spine, head injury, neurological issues, in and out of doctor's offices for over 8 hours. You know, and the blessing with this transpiring in Boulder, Colorado, was that it's the mecca of alternative care, or in that time that it was. And coming from Cape Cod, I knew some things, but I didn't know as much as there. So I really received the spectrum of holistic care being there. And so as time went on, and within a few weeks, I was just in so much agony and pain. And a doctor had recommended that I try this thing called Pilates. And the woman that I went to specialized in rehabilitative care Pilates. And so thus the story began. And so I rehabbed for 2 years.
Wow.
Between the main studio owner and an instructor that she had with her, who her name was Jenny. And at one point, Jenny said to me, you know, you should really go to school for this. Because now I'm not working, because I can't, you know, I physically couldn't go to work. I couldn't drive 20 minutes in a car because I was in so much pain, and just all the neurological things that went on. There was so much going on that I didn't even realize at the time. And so I certainly couldn't vocalize that to the people around me at the time. And, you know, it was just so set up by spirit, by universe. At the end of the 2 years of rehab, and now I'm back to work part-time, but it's not great. Like I'm still a mess, but people don't realize it because I'm in with the Alzheimer's. So no one was realizing that I wasn't all there.
Wow.
Which was interesting in itself. And so I had a little bit of a settlement back in that day. You got a little bit of settlement from your car accident, paid medical bills and such. There was just enough left to go to Pilates school, the Pilates school in Boulder, which is the Harvard of all Pilates schools, in my backyard. So, you know, it was universe just set this up for me, set up the stage. So I'm like, okay, great. Here you go. I'm just going with this flow.
Uh-huh.
And it was such an incredible experience because at the time I was still healing, you know, and I can remember going in and getting on a piece of equipment that we call the reformer, and you lay down, and I'm doing a basic footwork exercise where you lay down and you simply just press out and in, and that you pay attention to your breath and you're becoming one with your body. And the tears, Ray, the tears just start streaming because there was such a relief. It was like finally I felt in a safe place. My body was just, the fight or flight was beginning to finally leave me. And it was just such an experience. And I just adored Pilates so much. I'm so eternally grateful for the school and for all the instructors and trainers that I worked with. And my goal when I left there, my mission was that if I could just help one person not be in pain, that's all I wanted to do. And now, I mean, what is it, 24, 25 years later, you know, I'm so blessed at all of the people that I've been able to touch around the world and help people out of pain, help people to not need surgeries. You know, that's always, it's just so gratifying to see someone come in and so hurt and just so distraught, and to see the self-confidence return and to see the pain release and to see, oh my gosh, I don't need surgery. You know, to give someone their life, to help them back on that great path. It's a true blessing.
Yeah. And talk about, you know, being guided. I mean, you have the last name of Pilates. Are you related to Joseph Pilates at all, who originally founded it?
Interesting story with that too. So, Ray, if we're being honest, I will be honest with you. So there was once a little boy who looked at me and said, ma'am, and I sort of just smirked at him because he called me ma'am, and I said, yes. And he said, is that your real name? Is that your birth name, or is that branded?
Oh.
And I looked at him and I said, you are a very smart little boy. And I said, it is branded.
Ah.
So what happened was that through the time, over the years, I had all these beautiful studios. You're spending lots of money for these brick and mortar places, beautiful names to studios. And one day I was talking to some clients, I overheard them, and I said, when people ask you where you go to do Pilates, what do you tell them? Oh, with Jennifer. Great. Okay. So with Jennifer. So that means my website name means nothing. My business name means nothing. So over the years it evolved that I was either called Pilates Girl or Jennifer Pilates. And as time, I mean, this went on for like 10 years. And so at one point it actually got legally complicated because the name that I was using, my other last name, meant nothing.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was becoming an issue on taxes and this and that and the other thing. And I said, okay, well, you know, there's an easier way than trademarking. So I simply went and legally changed my name and didn't miss a beat. No one knew the difference because everyone called me that. Anyways, so it is on my license.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how that goes. Now back to, am I related to Joseph Pilates? So again, isn't spirit interesting? His family reached out to me and said, they wanted to know, and it must've been his great granddaughter. He has a great granddaughter, Jennifer, somewhere. And he has family here in Florida. And so they reached out to me thinking that I was her. And I said, well, I would love to be. I am not. However, the story gets so much more interesting. I never knew for years and years that I had lineage that was German. I was told, Ray, you're going to love this. Growing up 99.9% Irish, 100% off the boat. Everybody's been off the boat.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother passed away about 9 years ago. And we're all very pale, blonde hair, blue eyes. And so during the time that she's passing, I just sort of took over, you know, a pieces of being in charge of a little bit of her funeral and the music and the this and the that. And so I'm making it Irish, right? We've got the Irish poems, the Irish music, and I'm sitting at a table. I will never forget this, right? In Florida with my mom and my three uncles. And they look at me and they're like, why so much Irish? Right? I was like, what do you mean we're Irish? She's German, Scandinavian. And they listed off all these other things, including being Irish, of course. And I was stunned. No one ever told me this. I didn't know this. So if you follow the lineage back far enough, there are traces that there is a connection there.
Well, Wow.
So the universe works in miraculous ways.
Well, what a story. I love it because it also speaks to you as an entrepreneur and, you know, being called Jennifer Pilates because that's what you do so well and run those studios. That's a great story. And thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. And this is the first time I've shared that story. I've not shared that story before.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, regardless of the name, it's what you do that really is
right.
The story that we're going to talk about today. And I have to say, I've had my own stories, but nothing as dramatic as that, you know, getting injured so badly in a car accident and going through what you did to fully recover. And so you've really learned about what it takes to recover.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a part of what you do is so much around empowerment and mindset. And those are such important things, you know, for self-improvement in general. But yeah, so now let's talk about empowerment. I mean, how do you begin when you work with coaching clients to address empowerment?
Yeah, well, when clients come to me for coaching, it's always different. And I love that aspect too, just like a Pilates session is always different, whether we're working with them because they're coming in asking about business help and business assistance, or if it's something on a more personal level. I always find that regardless of the reason why someone comes in for, that's never the real reason. And if they come in talking about their business, it's really personal. And if they come in talking about personal, there's a blockage with their business. Huh. So the beauty of when I'm working with someone and me being an intuitive empath is that I have this extra little superpower that I can really zone right in, regardless of what someone is asking about and going, hold on, what about this? So it's really about getting in and shining the light on what is blocking us. And then showing the path and how there's a pattern, both personally and professionally. And then shining a brighter light to show here's the various ways that we can work through this. What's most comfortable for you? What resonates with you? Because it's not about me. I'm here as the vessel. I'm here to help get that person to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so shining that light and then helping. And then, of course, yes, my ridiculous amount of years in business and marketing and branding and all of that in the corporate world, plus my own businesses is a caveat, so to speak, on top of everything. It really just, it encompasses everything when we're working together. And when we can release those blockages 9 times out of 10, it's sort of like peeling back an onion. There's another layer and there's something else. And what clients always say to me is that they appreciate the depth and that I always want to get to the root of something. I'm not a gloss rover. I'm not a surface person. So I'm certainly not a surface coach. So someone cannot come in and BS me. And I had someone say that to me. They're like, yeah, they're like, you like read BS like there's no tomorrow. And I'm like, no. Like I had someone come in and he was like, I'm healed and I've been going to therapy and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I just said one sentence to him and it was all over. And I was like, you can showboat all you want, but not here, my friend, not here.
Huh?
And so if you're showboating, then you still have protective walls up and that's totally okay. But let's figure out why and do you really need them and what are they blocking you from? So he appreciated both approaches that I was like calling him on his, you know, BS, but then saying, but wait, you know, there's a reason, right? There's a reason that we all do something. I don't really like to look at things as good or bad. It's just like, well, why? What's the why there? And let's move past it because surely that's deflecting and blocking you from, and it was both personally and professionally. So I really, again, in my coaching, whether I'm training or whether I'm doing an intuitive reading with the client, it truly all encompasses the body, mind, and spirit, because everything is an integral part of one another.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree with you so much. But let me ask here, have you always known you were intuitive?
That's a tough one. So it's not that I always knew. I would say there were different glimpses throughout different pieces of my life. There were times when I was very young. I mean, I've been an empath, I know now, since I was very, very young, probably since I was 5 or 6.
Okay.
There were things that I saw, things that I knew, but I could not explain that to you. And so, or there were people that I was around that suddenly I would feel ill, right? There's all this empathic things that were transpiring. And so I don't really think that I got it until later in life. You know, much like everybody, you go through, and then you go through stages where everything is, I loved astrology and metaphysics and oracle cards. And I was just so good at it, right? But to me, it was the cards. I didn't know it was me.
Yeah.
You know, so it took time to really get it and to know. And if I'm being honest, I mean, I've been an intuitive reader for 20 some years as well. And so you go through, I think, different stages of empowerment, even through your metaphysical awakening, your spiritual growth and your awakenings. And I would say about 5 years ago, I hit another pinnacle point where it was just like God said, you know, girl, shine the light, like no more dimming. You can't have two different lives. This is you. Embrace it. And once I did that, that made all the difference in the world. And so I think that that has made me a better trainer, coach, intuitive advisor, and a better person, right? Because it's not fair to fake it. You can't, you know, so when you are authentic and you're being your authentic self, the world just seems to open up for you and you attract those people. Those years when I was not being authentic and I was not telling people that I was an intuitive advisor, I would just say, oh yeah, I'm a coach. It wasn't a lie, but it wasn't the full truth. So once I kind of came out, which to me was like the biggest deal. I'll never forget the day that I came out. I wrote this huge post on social media and I thought, well, I'm just going to put it out. No one even noticed, Ray. No one noticed. No one cared. It was just like, no one noticed. It was hysterical. And so the lesson is being authentic. And when you are, then, because there's so many people that need you, right? They need you and your podcast and your radio show for your message. Well, someone may look at me and go, oh, well, she's a coach. I don't really need a coach. I don't know what I need. But then if they know that I'm like this intuitive advisor who is a coach and does all of this, then they might be like, okay, this is like one-stop shopping. That's what I need.
Huh.
And so, you know, you want to do service, not a disservice to yourself and those around you.
Yes. And I, having done some coaching myself, I understand that being intuitive and empathic is a big advantage. I mean, that really helps you connect with those clients. And as you described in that little story there, you know, see through what's really going on behind the scenes. You know, I've never been intuitive, empathic like that. As I got deeper into spiritual practices, I began to experience more intuition. And, you know, it's a powerful thing. But it's not it's not a natural gift. And so I'll keep diving into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, the statistics shows that over 50% of the population is empathic. And when we look up that word, there's various features of characteristics or superpowers, so to speak, that an empath can have. So there's, you know, intuition, and then it breaks down even into further depth. So everyone is very different. I may feel things extremely powerful and you may just know them, but not know why you know it. Right. And then there's other empaths that have lots of gifts on the list, so to speak, on the scroll, I call it, of how many by parts do you have as an empath? And I happen to have probably more than I ever wanted, which, you know, blessing, curse, I don't know. It depends on the day, but, you know, I try to look at everything as a blessing and know that everything that I'm going through and Ray, everything you've gone through, ultimately I find that that ends up helping someone out there in the world down the road. And then you're like, oh, that's why that happened to me. Okay. So that I could help you through this.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Yeah. You, on your website, you said, my goal is to help you discover your own truths, gain self-empowerment, and in turn, transform body, mind, and spirit. That is a beautiful mission. And I think it's so important. You know, I see more and more people in the world who are really waking up to their purpose and their role to participate in ways like this. But tell us more about, you know, how, what are the key parts of helping people gain empowerment? You know, I know it's a lot to do with mindset and beliefs, but yeah, how do you approach that?
You know, and again, it's very individualized to the person and to how they're coming to me. But yes, we do address, you know, the mindset, what's going on? Are we in a negative low vibration? What do we need to do with that? What practices do we need to bring in? And what practices is this client open to? So meaning, are we working on positive affirmations? Are we working with a gratitude journal? Are we working with meditation practices? Are we working with visualization? You know, there's this whole beautiful bag, this toolbox that we can use based on that client and what their desire and need and, you know, ultimate goal is. And so how do we get there? And having that toolbox of all of these different practices is key, because not everyone resonates with the same and not everyone is going to see the same result as the same. However, I always find that there's usually one or two that someone goes, oh, this is it. Like, I really like this. I want, and then we expand on that. And then as you expand on something, it's not so much about that person thinking, well, I'm broken, I need to be fixed. And it's, no, that's not it. We just need to shine some things up. We need to educate. We need to learn. We need to expand our mindset, because it's not our fault how we were programmed as a society within a family environment, within traumas that happened to us. That's not our fault. Those are experiences. We're here on Earth. This is Earth school. And when we can look at it that way and go, okay, we were learning lessons, we were learning blessings. Now, there may be some things that weren't so great that we need to unlearn now. Learn a little bit better, right? Yeah. Put a little twist on them. You know, because, again, I try not to ever really want to go into a negative, but, you know, there are some traumatic things that we got to go, well, yeah, you know what, that sucked. That wasn't cool. Okay, but what can we take out of that moment? And so that's always my key, is bringing it back to what can we take out of that moment to bring you empowerment in that moment. And even I'll give you an example. This morning I was doing Pilates with my mom in her pool, and we were kind of talking and we got on a little bit of a rant of some of the things that are going on in the world right now. And I said, you know, Mom, we've been through a lot of emotions in the last 2.5-3 years. Some high, well, not a lot of high, but some low, you know, it's just all the gamut in between. And I said, I have this warrior in me right now. And she goes, oh God. And I said, oh, I'm talking like Braveheart warrior. I said, with the paint on the horse, with the American flag. And my choice words are probably something we won't say on air, but like, you are not like, no, I'm not taking any more BS. There's no more. Like, let's empower. Let's take back our power. Meaning, as a society, as people, I'm not going to rely on you. We need to learn how to rely on ourselves. Go back to the good old days. Love thy neighbor. Borrow a cup of sugar. Get to know your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Do you even know if you have neighbors, right? There's some people, Ray, who don't even know. And so it's all, it, again, there's little ways that you can go. And once you can flip that switch to the empowerment and to the confidence in someone, for a little piece, the rest just begins to blossom. All we need to do is get to the root. If I can get to the root and I can prune it, if not pull that darn thing all the way out with the client, then, you know, blossom, bloom, grow. It really, the transformation, I don't want to say it's fast because that's not fair, because timing is really, you know, different for each person, but it really is fast when I'm working with people. It's amazing to me, whether we're on Pilates or, I mean, honestly, most of my clients do see me for training and are seeing me for some sort of coaching and intuitive advising at the same time. If not, it's a, you know, literally in the same session we've doing this. And and that's where everything comes together, because when you've got the mindset and that piece and you're combining your mind and your body and you're feeling it and you're getting it, there's no stopping that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you haven't used the word awareness, but awareness, I think, is such an important part of that whole process. I mean, we can kind of have a mindset that's based on kind of controlling what we think about, you know,
mm-hmm.
but awareness actually eventually gets to something much deeper, and it gets out of the thinking to being aware, you know, and it's both aware of ourself and what, you know, what we think, what we believe, aware of what we're feeling. And it's being aware of the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a key part of it. And to me, there's kind of a major difference between mind and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you agree, but.
I think in some ways, the mind and the awareness of the mind and the intuitiveness of the mind and the body is sort of this beautiful little dance that transpires, because you can't really become aware without a piece of your mind. And sometimes you're not always in tune, but you're aware. Mm-hmm. So there's these, it's again, it's sort of this neurological dance, but when everything aligns, then the magic happens. I find that it's not often that you just get a piece. I mean,
yes.
Sometimes you can get a piece, but generally there's something that twists all together, like, oh my gosh, I just knew it. I had thought about this. I felt this. It's, do you know what I'm saying? And so,
yes.
it all comes together. So I agree with you. I do think that there's this beautiful trifecta, you call it, of all three things, of the awareness and the mind and the intuitiveness and, you know, bring in the feelings and what's transpiring. And right now the key for every human is to be aware. You know, I'm not so much a fan of the words, definitely not awake, you know, it's just like, right. Could you just not be aware of what in the Hades is going on right now? Please just be aware. Right?
And you, what you were describing there really immediately triggered to me my favorite word, which is wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and kind of holistic too. But yeah, you're very much talking about that we need a holistic approach and address all parts of us, not just one part. And that's really important in the world today. I mean, we definitely need to be much more aware of our own emotions and how we're reacting to what all is going on in the world, and aware that we have options of how we can respond.
Mm-hmm.
Response becomes so important as well.
It really does. It truly does. And while I appreciate everyone's passion and emotions, I think that less reactiveness would be lovely. More thought process would be wonderful. And more research would really be helpful.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I love the way you began in our conversation. Also, you mentioned love, which my listeners have heard me talk about many, many times and in many different ways, you know, talking about different contexts like Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love, but, and what that means. And and learning to see, you know, or be aware that we are responding or thinking or feeling out of fear. And, you know, and one way of responding is kind of then flipping that on its head and to respond with love instead, love for ourselves or love for others, love for the world, love for life. So I agree so much that love is so important. And, you know, I think it's important to have people speaking up about the importance of love and that we can, you know, it doesn't have to be seen as this soft woo-woo, I don't know what the word is I'm trying to describe here, but, you know, we can see it and feel it in many different ways. So, yeah, mm-hmm. tell me more. I mean, do you talk to clients at all about love or in your podcast?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you know, love, passion, that's always coming up. You know, what is it, the heart of the soul? You know, what, again, going back to that wholeness, what is that passion? What makes you laugh? What do you love? You know, and love is so healing. And healing on every level. It's on a cellular level. And, you know, we can heal our ways back to, we can heal ourselves back to a better world if we can all just get on that same page and realize that the simplest thing you can do is love someone. The simplest thing you can do is show love. And that can be as simple as smiling at someone today.
Mm-hmm.
That's showing love. That's showing compassion. You know, and I think, again, being programmed throughout society over, you know, numerous years now, there has been a narrative to what love is and what love isn't. And I don't think that that's fair. I think that has set a lot of people up for failure. Obviously, a lot of marriages. I mean, that's a hot mess throughout our society right now. And so, and I think it's also important to realize that love is not just in this one box. Mm-hmm. Again, how we've been told, love is very different. And whether you, whomever your partner is, your love is going to be different, and how you express it and how you choose to live your life, and whether you're married, whether you're not married, whether you live together, whether you don't live together, whether you're in the same bedroom, whether you're not, it's your love. You do your love. All we ask is that you show love to everyone around you at the same time, but not worry about how everyone is looking at your love. Mm-hmm. Do your love. And show your love and spread your love around the world. And if we all did that, I mean, it goes back to the simplest things. I think some people just get so tripped up on the word love. And it's like, well, if we just break it down and say, okay, if you walk into a room and everyone is yelling and screaming, you immediately go, your body shuns. And you're like, whoa, I think I'm gonna leave, right? It doesn't feel good. But if you walk into a room and people are happy and they're smiling and everyone's chatting, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I want to be a part of this. That's love. It's that simple. That simple. And somehow it's gotten so complicated and diluted and just, it's just gotten to be a mess over the years. I mean, don't you think, Ray? Like, I just feel that little kids are, you're being brought up to think that someone's going to show up on a horse with a shoe and save you and kiss you and wake you up. And Ray, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I hate to burst someone's bubble, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And hearing you talk about it, I'm struck by the fact that, you know, most of the world, most people don't know what love is. And love, you know, love is a kind of a key to empowerment. Love is so powerful. It empowers us to see the world differently and to respond differently. And so there need to be more of us talking about love and, I love your insights.
Yeah. And remembering that love starts within. If you want to be around people loving you, love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be with yourself. Be your own best friend. Until you are okay with you, you will never be okay with the world.
Right.
And you will not be okay with the people around you. And so that's a key when I'm working with clients, is that self-love, self-worth, self-value. I mean, again, another trifecta, that is priceless. And when you have that, you are a ripple effect. When you are healing yourself, you are a ripple effect to your family, to your friends, without even saying a word, to past ancient generations, not even here anymore. You're healing all of that. And I always find that to be utterly amazing, that we're healing generations just by working on ourselves. How special is that? And why wouldn't we all want to be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of fighting about a relationship and fighting with a person, how about taking a time out and going inward and working on yourself? Because you can really heal that relationship by just working on self.
Yes.
It's amazing.
My last couple of guests were love coaches or relationship coaches. Mm-hmm. And they definitely talked about, that people must learn to love themselves before they'll ever have a successful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so key. So exactly what you were just talking about.
Yeah, I agree. It's so true. When you want that beautiful world, it starts from within.
Yes. Well, let's shift gears just a little bit here. And since you do so much as a coach in helping people transform in a holistic way, body, mind, and spirit, how about starting with, what are your daily practices for body, mind, and spirit?
I have recently been changing things up, which, being a Taurus, I don't change often. It's very difficult, Ray. But, I do now and again. It's sort of like working out. You want to rework your body differently. And so every morning, I do have a gratitude practice. I have a breath practice and a meditation practice. And so those are definitely non-negotiables that I have every morning. And I also have those every evening. So they're very grounding. They're very clearing for when I wake up to start my day. And they're very grounding and clearing, as I say, to clear out the day. Movement is key for me each and every day, whether that is going for a walk or doing my Pilates or doing yoga or practice. What else do I do? There's something else I've been doing recently. Yoga, Pilates. I forget what the other thing. I was trying to do something new. Clearly it's not working because I can't remember it. But movement is super important every day. And something new that I've added in is gardening. So gardening is new to me, Ray. I really had been kept saying I wanted a home, I wanted land, I wanted, chickens and goats, and this is I'm yearning for this. And so I have been on this manifesting kick where I'm really manifesting things very quickly right now. It's something else I help empower clients learn how to do. And so I've manifested my own garden. So it's above ground because where I'm in, I don't have the ground capability, accessibility. And so I have this huge garden that's growing out of nowhere. I've never gardened a day in my life. I've got tomatoes and lettuce and spinach and cucumbers. And later today, I'm going to get strawberries and figure that out. And that has been an incredible new experience for me. It's, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like gardening is amazing. I'm so calm. I am so nurturing and so loving. My neighbors make fun of me because I talk to my plants. I'm out there and I'm like, baby girl, how do you feel today? Oh no, baby, how do you, but I'll tell you, they're blooming, they're happy, they're beautiful. So gardening is something else that I have brought in that I have been doing.
Yeah.
And gardening, been really,
I've taught people to be, one way of becoming more aware is just to pay attention to nature.
Mm-hmm.
But gardening kind of magnifies that, multiplies it. Yeah.
It really does.
Know about what you're doing.
And I had no idea. It was sort of like when I started my podcast. I had no idea. I bought these above ground raised beds. I bought the soil. I seeded. I did my seedlings. I never even Googled, like, is it the right time? What kind of light? I just went for it. And so, but again, when you're intuitive and you go with how you're being led and you go with the flow, you just know. And when you can be in the flow, that's when life is happening for you. And really, life is happening for you every day, but it's really happening for you on those days when you're in the flow in such a spectacular way. So for me, gardening is like my new aha kind of thing. Like, wow, this is so much more than just gardening to me. It's so enlightening. It's so powerful. There's so much love out there because my intent is not just about feeding me. I want to be able to feed my whole community this year. I want to be able to help people. So again, it's about being of service. And so there's so much more to it for me. And it's just, it's beautiful and it's wonderful. So that's something else that I've added into my days that has really made all the difference for me.
Yeah. I think I heard you mention, before we got into gardening, I think you said something about clearing, and I don't know if you have a specific clearing practice that you do.
I do. I have a clearing practice that I do when I wake up, before bed, and after, say, I've laid down and I've done a meditation or I've done a chakra clearing. I have a clearing and a grounding practice that keeps my energy mine and allows other energies to not be mine. So that as an empath, I am ridiculously sensitive to energies, to people, to you name it, the earth, the solar flares, the everything. And so it's taken a long time to really find a practice that works for me so that I cannot feel everything that's around me. And so that practice is very important. And definitely non-negotiable. I do it all the time. And not all the time, morning, in the morning and at night. And then after, like before our podcast, I did a bit of a meditation and chakra balancing. And then because you never know, right? You don't know. And I think people don't realize this. When you're in a meditation or you're chakra clearing, you don't really know where you're going and what you've opened up to. You can think that you do. But just in case, it's always good to clear things out and, you know, tighten things back up. And always good.
And it's interesting you say that because at different times over the years, as I've, you know, explored different things and different practices, there was a period of time where, actually multiple periods of time, where I was very into chakra exercises, if you will, feeling the chakras and energizing the chakras. And do a combination of affirmation and releasing clearing can be done in lots of mm-hmm. different ways, but
truly so many different ways. So, one that I do in the morning, I do, breath work, affirmations, gratitude, and then the sense of clearing and grounding for the day to begin. So that's just one aspect of it. And then after meditations, that clearing is basically a way of just making sure that if I've gone somewhere or I've let something in, that I'm cutting those cords and I'm releasing those and bringing my energy back to my energy. And then just being clear in such a way. And then so at night, I sort of repeat that. I want to release anything I may have picked up throughout the day, whether I'm aware of it or not, and hopefully it's not. And just to clear myself. So when I go to bed, it's just me. So for me, there's tons of different ways to clear. You can clear by calling in your angels. Whom do you resonate with? I resonate very much so with Archangel Michael. He's always around me. Clearing with sage. I did that. Clearing can be as simple as vacuuming. And I want people to know that, like, there doesn't have to be all this, you know, I don't want people to freak out. And like, I don't care for the word woo-woo. I don't care for the word psychic. For me personally, do I have those abilities? Yes, but vacuuming is clearing. Cleaning your house and your car is clearing out old energies. Saging. Now I love to sage. Oh, I love to sage. I burn sage. I have a sage spray that I use and I travel with, which is amazing. Except for when you're on a plane, you can't really. But I use Archangel Michael for that, right? We're supposed to be calling on our angels and our guides. This isn't about, we're in school, we're learning. We're not here to heal. There are healers, and yes, I have healing capabilities, but I receive those from the universe. I'm the vessel that delivers it. you know, but you're your healer, I'm my healer. So there's all these different ways. Lighting a white candle, tea lights around your house every night is clearing.
Yes.
So there's very simple ways. It is not complicated. And I have found over the years that people really complicate things. And then there are people that don't tell you things. And that is, I always find that that's very annoying to me. It's annoying, right? It's annoying when people go, what do you mean? You've never been clearing yourself after you wake up out of a meditation? No, no one ever told me that. So I learned, you know, you learn these things along the way. So if, as the listeners are listening, if you're like, oh my God, I never knew that. Why didn't my mentor tell me this? Or why? No, all the mentors, they never give up all this. And they don't do it intentionally. It's just that you get these breadcrumbs along the way and then you figure out what works for you. Like I love selenite crystals. Obsessed with selenite. It's just a beautiful clearing white crystal all around my house. But if you walk in, you probably wouldn't notice it because it's just where it is.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I have crystals throughout my whole car, so it's always protected, but you'll never see them. You know, there's, and I think people get this,
yes.
They think psychic, right? And you immediately think of that flashing purple or red sign that's on the side of the road. And so this is my program and my trigger. So growing up, that's how I associate psychic. So when people call me psychic, I mean, literally my skin cringes and I'm like, oh. But, I mean, at the end of the day, is that my ability? It absolutely is. But I just don't resonate with that word.
But
that's okay.
You know, you've touched on something really important here, and that is, like, if you talk about being aware of angels or spirit guides, you know, there's this oneness in the universe that we're a part of, and so few people are aware of it, and we need to do, you know, become more aware
mm-hmm.
of that as well. And, you know, I love what you're talking about there in grounding. And I hadn't quite thought of it that way, but sometimes when I want to get recentered, grounded, I do something physical, you know, work on some physical chore. It might be vacuuming or something else, but you can get centered and grounded through the physical, through your body and get out of your head and, you know,
jumping in a pool, jumping in the ocean, a shower at the end of the day, shower off the energies from the day. That's what you're doing. You're releasing, get rid of it all. You don't want to go to bed with everybody that you talk to all day long. Don't invite that into your bed. No, no. Shower, get it off, change your clothes, change your sheets. It's all that. It's the little stuff that makes a big impact on your life.
Yeah. You know, Jennifer, this has been a delightful conversation. I don't want to stop, but we're out of time. So I really need to bring it to an end. And thank you so much for being here. But is there anything that you would like to say to kind of wrap up to the audience? And then be sure to give them your website, et cetera.
Sure. Well, I would like to say thank you, Ray, so much for having me here today. This conversation has been so much fun. I feel like we could talk for hours and hours and hours, which is always a delight. Thank you. And for listeners, you know, we've talked and touched on a lot of stuff today. And take what resonates with you. Don't allow yourself to become bombarded or overwhelmed with too much. Take one piece of information that you're like, wow, I think I could do that. And then do that. And then maybe a month from now, you might come back and re-listen, and then you might pick up something else. We don't need to pick up everything in one day. Remember, this is the school of Earth. And just when you didn't go from kindergarten to being a senior in high school, we don't get to the school of Earth to go from being a kindergartner to graduating Earth school. And we don't want to rush it. And we want to enjoy this journey, this adventure. And fun is the key word. Fun and loving your life and loving yourself. That is my wish. That is my mission for you, to empower yourself through those two things, through fun and through love. And if you'd like to continue this conversation, I would love to. You can head over to jenniferpilates.com and you will find out everything about myself, the podcast, coaching, intuitive readings. And if there is any way that I can help you, I am here for you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. And wow, this has been a great discussion and so many things to think about and learn from. But like Jennifer says, take it one thing at a time. You don't have to absorb it all at once. And in fact, trying to absorb it all at once is self-defeating. So you're exactly right, Jennifer. Listening audience, you have a great day and a great life.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.